Okay, children's church is dismissed at this time. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. But we're going to be moving around a little bit today. We're going to start in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and we'll wind up back up at Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. We'll start reading with verse 4 here in just a second. Listen to me. The Scriptures, they don't say anything about Christians celebrating Christmas. However, because it is so prevalent in the Scriptures from the beginning to the end of the Bible, the Christmas story, it's so thoroughly mentioned and prevalent that I declare to you that it's a good thing that God's people celebrate Christmas. Celebrating the true meaning of Christmas is a positive thing because it is positively found throughout the Word of God. You see, it's important that you and I, as Christians, celebrate the true meaning of Christmas because it has become such a fairy tale holiday. There are more fairy tales at Christmas time than you and I can count, and every year they seem to come up with some kind of new Christmas fairy tale. They are growing and developing, and you can watch them on TV every year. And then here's what happens. Then here's what happens is that all over the country, and just about an hour from anywhere you live, you can go and find some kind of Christmas fairy tale land or event or place or theme park. You can go. And when you go there and you walk about, you feel like you're in a type of fairy tale land. Just this past weekend, Tammy and I took Caroline to the James Island County Park. And it has that fairy tale Christmas type of spirit there. The lights show that you drive through and see. Then you can stop at one place and go through their shops and walk through the trails with all the lights and all the events going on, and you feel like you're part of a giant fairy tale. But here's what I want you to understand. That first Christmas was no fairy tale. That first Christmas was no made-up story. That first Christmas, I want you to understand, was real. Christ really came into the world. He was really born to a virgin. He was really born in a place called Bethlehem. He was really born to the tribe of Judah and to David, King David's, as a descendant of King David. All of those things really happen, and you and I, as the children of God, when it comes to Christmas, we need to stand up proudly and thank God that the part of our Christmas celebration is not something made up, but thank God it's real. Hallelujah. Our celebration is real. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us, though, to look at how we can authenticate that first Christmas is not just a fairy tale. It's not just a made-up story. It's not just something that has become to us an event that just someone made it up and decided it sounded good, and Let's just have something to celebrate. No, we celebrate something that is real, that changes lives, that makes a difference, that is so real that there's no reason why anyone in this room today should ever doubt its reality. It's important this Christmas that we begin to let the world know that our faith, listen to me, and this is a problem with Christian faith. You know what happened to the Christian faith in America? What's happened to the Christian faith in America is this, is that we have allowed this to happen to us. What has happened in the Christian faith is that it has boiled down to that it's just something that is personal between you and your God, and, you know, it's just keep it narrowed down and that little narrow focus. It's not something that's necessarily real. It's not something that took place. It is just a religion. It's just a faith that you have. But don't get all that excited about it, because there are so many religions. They've got theirs, you've got yours. Everybody just keep their religion to themselves. It's just a personal thing. It's just a value thing. There's not necessarily anything real about it. But I want to say to you that Christianity is real. It is authentic. It is authentic. I couldn't get the word out. It is something that we based our faith upon, is something that is not just, well, it sounds good and we're going to just go with what sounds good. No, our faith is in something that really, genuinely took place. And hallelujah is taking place. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't make it something that you're just, it's just a personal thing. It's just you and you're quiet about it. But if the scientists say something happened this way and it doesn't go along with your faith, well, the science has got to be right because it's science, right? So I'll still have my faith, but I'll make my faith kind of work with the science and give the science the benefit of the doubt, but not my faith. And I'll make my faith kind of secondary when it comes to that part. But it's still important to me. Now listen, I want to say something to you. You declare your faith loud, long, and bold, because what you have is not something that is secondary in any way. It is not something that you need to have any doubt about whatsoever. What you believe in, your faith is real, it's real, and everything else is secondary. Authenticate the first Christmas. My message is entitled, How to Authenticate That First Christmas, so that we can say and declare without any shame that it was real, that it happened. First of all, the prophecies authenticate the first Christmas events. And let me just share with you, this is what you need to hear from me. You can know and declare that the first Christmas is real because long before it ever happened, it was predicted all the way back to the book of Genesis, all the way through the prophets, right up to the time that it actually took place. And let's look at some of the prophecies that predicted the birth of the King, the birth of Jesus Christ, that first Christmas. I want us to look at some of these prophecies so that we can know that what we celebrate is real. First of all, the virgin birth. The virgin birth was prophesied from the beginning, and prophesied again in the prophets long before the Virgin Mary actually gave birth to Jesus. Take your Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 3. We'll get back to Luke in a minute. Go to Genesis chapter 3. And if you don't know, that is the first book in the Bible. And Genesis chapter 3 is the chapter in which sin came into the world. Adam and Eve fell by disobeying God and doing what he said not to do. And he said there would be consequences if they did. Look at verses 14 and 15 of Genesis chapter 3. This is the first mention of the virgin birth. That's what the Bible says. So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly. You will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman." Now listen to this. "And between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." You say, where's the virgin birth mentioned in that verse? And here's where it's mentioned. In verse 15, when he said, "I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers." That is a reference to the virgin birth. That is a reference as he spoke to Eve, and he said to Eve, "The seed of the woman, your offspring," not yours and Adam's, but your offspring, Eve, "your offspring will crush the head of the serpent." Now understand something. Jesus Christ was born without a physical father. He was born to the Virgin Mary. He was the offspring of a woman. And so the virgin birth was prophesied all the way back to the very beginning of Scriptures. Now take your Bibles and go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Listen to the Scriptures there. We're talking thousands of years before Jesus Christ was actually born. The virgin birth is already predicted. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Listen to what the Bible says here in verse 14. In Isaiah 7, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." There it is. Isaiah prophesies the virgin birth. Moses in the book of Genesis prophesies the virgin birth. Let me say to you, brothers and sisters, our Christmas story is real because thousands of years before the virgin birth took place, it was prophesied by Moses in the book of Genesis and by the prophet Isaiah in his book, chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, how do we know it's real? Because of the prophecy of the virgin birth. Second, we know it's real because the place of the birth was also prophesied. Take your Bibles and find the Old Testament book of Micah. The Old Testament book of Micah. And find chapter 5. When you find the Old Testament book of Micah, take your time because I got to find it as well. Micah chapter 5. And look at what the Bible says there. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. The Bible says this. Micah chapter 5 verse 2. "But you, Bethlehem, Euphrates, Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. And you see, when the wise men came seeking for the king of the Jews who had been born, when they came to worship him, they stopped in Jerusalem. They asked for help as to where he has been born, the king of the Jews. And the scholars said, he's been born in Bethlehem, or he will be born in Bethlehem, because the prophet Micah predicted so. And there it is in Micah 5 and verse 2, the place of his birth was prophesied. And then let me show you this. Not only was the virgin birth prophesied, not only was the place of his birth prophesied, but I also want you to notice that the scripture is filled with prophecies that the coming king, the birth of the Messiah, would be born through the seed of David, through the tribe of Judah. And I want you to notice that is prophesied throughout scripture. Go to Genesis chapter 49. Look in Genesis chapter 49 in the Old Testament. It's important that you see these things. Genesis 49 and verse 10. This is where Jacob is blessing his sons. And when he comes to his son Judah, he makes this prediction. He says in verse 10, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. And what that clearly predicts and says is that the Messiah, the king, will come from the tribe of Judah, the one who will be the ruler of the people of Israel and the ruler of the people of God's kingdom will come from the tribe of Judah. Go to Isaiah chapter 9 and listen to there. Isaiah 9. And I know it's not my usual style of preaching to skip around so much, but I wanted you to see how important it is that we understand how real our Christmas story is, because it is so authenticated in the prophecies. Isaiah chapter 9, and the Bible says in verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. And so right there it says he will reign on David's throne. The prophecies were that the Messiah would come from the seed of David. And right here is prophesying that. And Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah. He was a descendant of David. Take your Bibles and go to Isaiah 11. While you're right there in chapter 1. And look at what the Bible says in Isaiah 11 and chapter 1, these words. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. Who was Jesse? The father of David. Again, prophesying that the Messiah would be born to the tribe of Judah and to the seed of David. For you see, Mary came from the tribe of Judah and was a descendant of David. And Joseph, though he was not his real father, he also came from the tribe of Judah and a descendant of David. Is the gospel true when it tells us that the Messiah was born in Bethlehem of a virgin? Yes. Because the scripture so adequately predicts it. I want you to look at one more, Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. And listen to what it says there in verse 5. Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. Another prophecy that the king would be born to the tribe of Judah and to the seed of David. Then there is the prophecy of the reaction of King Herod upon hearing about the birth of Jesus Christ. What was his response? You remember? He sent the wise men on to find him. The wise men were to come back to report to King Herod. And what did King Herod tell them that he would do once he found out where the Messiah was at? He said he would come and worship him. But you and I know that was not his plan. His plan was to kill the baby Jesus. And God told the wise men to go and not go back to Herod. And they left out secretly and went a different way than the way they came. And then when Herod found out they had left and had not come back to him, what did he do? He sent soldiers to Bethlehem to kill all the male boys that were how old and under? 2 years old and under. He wanted to be sure to cover the bases so that one of those sons that he killed, since he didn't know which one was the Messiah, the King of the Jews, the Lord of Lords, he decided to kill all of them to be sure to cover the bases. And that night, whatever sons 2 years old and under had been born in Bethlehem, they were slaughtered. And that was predicted in Hosea in chapter 11. In Jeremiah. Take your Bibles and look in Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. And look at verse 15. Jeremiah 31 and verse 15. Says, this is what the Lord says. A voice is heard in Ramah, mourning and great weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because her children are no more. Rachel gives us the indication, as well as Ramah, that this is talking about in Bethlehem. Her children, weeping for her children because her children are no more, and she refuses to be comforted. And Matthew chapter 2 as well tells us that when he slaughtered the children, that was a fulfillment of this prophecy in the book of Jeremiah. I'm going to give you one more out of the Old Testament that authenticates the first Christmas story because it prophesies about it thousands and hundreds of years before Christ actually coming into the world. Hosea chapter 11. Find Hosea chapter 11. Got to find it myself. Hosea chapter 11. And the Bible says this in verse 1. The Bible says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. And out of Egypt, I called my son. You see, that is a prophecy that after the wise men left, what did the angel tell Mary and Joseph to do? told them to go down into Egypt. So they went down into Egypt. And then eventually, after they heard that King Herod had died, they came up out of Egypt back to the land of Israel. And Hosea 11 and verse 1 is a prophecy about the child Jesus coming back out of Egypt back into the land of Israel. So I want you to understand today, you need not think of the Christmas story as a fairy tale event. It was so real because almost every aspect of it was prophesied and predicted thousands and hundreds of years before it actually took place. You know, we have fun with all the fairy tale stories at Christmas time. I like to watch The Grinch. I see them every week. I like to watch and see these stories. I love to watch Mary Poppins at Christmas time, The Sound of Music, all of those things. I love and enjoy those things at Christmas time. I love putting up the decorations. And by the way, I finally got my lights up, my manger scene. I put up my cross last night finally. And so it's right behind the manger scene. And I plan on putting up one more thing. I'm going to make a crown and call it From the Cradle to the Cross to His Crown. And that's what I'm hoping, get that crown done and put it up on some kind of post and have it up so that I can show to the world that my Savior is not just a baby now in the cradle. My Savior's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's sovereign and He's in control. Bless His holy name. It's real. But you know, it's real not only because of the prophecies, it's real because of the witnesses. There were Joseph and Mary themselves. There were the shepherds. There were the wise men. And then I want to give you one more. There were the opposition. Yes, the opposition were witnesses to the fact that the Christmas story really took place. You say, how? The biblical Jewish scholars who became opposition to Jesus eventually, they were the ones that predicted and said He was born in Bethlehem. They verified it. And then King Herod verified it, and he was a witness to it by the destruction that he did when he took the lives of all of those baby children 2 years old and under. So not only did people actually witness the birth of Jesus Christ, but even the opposition gave validity to it by the actions and reactions that they took. Third, the apostles authenticate the first Christmas event. They write about it in their writings. The Gospels tell us about the coming of Christ into the world. And the apostles and those early biblical writers, not a one of them saw the actual birthplace of Christ. They never saw the actual baby Jesus, but they believed in it. They heard all the stories. They investigated the witnesses. And they verified it by writing their accounts down. And then I want to say to you that it's real. It's authenticated not only by the prophecies, not only by the witnesses, not only by the apostles. Even the apostle Paul wrote about the virgin birth in Galatians chapter 4. But I want you to understand, heaven authenticates it. I like this part. That first Christmas event, the Holy Spirit was involved. That first Christmas event, the angels were involved. That first Christmas event, the heavenly host were involved. The Father was involved, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I want to say to you today, brothers and sisters, that heaven itself puts its stamp of approval upon the actual first Christmas. It was real. So I come to ask you this question in closing. What do you do in light of this then? Now take your Bibles and go to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2. What do we do if the Scriptures in the Old Testament, thousands and hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, authenticate the actual and factual birth of the Savior? If witnesses that were there authenticate the actual first Christmas events? If the apostles authenticated and the early biblical writers authenticate the first Christmas event? And if heaven authenticates it, what should God's people do in light of the fact that it is so heavenly authenticated? Well, let's look and see what those did who were actually there that first night. Let me begin reading with verse 4 of Luke chapter 2. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, now listen to this. Now this is important. Here's what I want to say to you as I draw this to a close. If the story of the shepherds had ended right there when the heavenly host went back into heaven, and that it ends right there, then we're not so sure that we could say that the first Christmas really took place. But notice what happens next. And here's what the Bible says. Verse 15 again. When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, listen to what the shepherds did. They said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. Listen to me. I'm glad to report to you today that the shepherds went and found the child, his mother, and Joseph, and found it all exactly the way the angelic being had told them about it. And they were so excited. They went and told everybody, and then they returned back rejoicing and glorifying and praising God. Let me ask you a question. Since we know it is such a real event that happened, how ought we to react, and what should we do? We should do exactly what those first witnesses did. We should go away from this place, and when we get out there, we should glorify God and praise Him in the presence of the world and let them know we are blessed, we are excited, we are thrilled, because at this time of the year, we are reminded that a real event happened, that our Savior really came to save us. And we want to tell the world about it. And we want to rejoice that the God of gods, the Lord of lords, and the King of kings would come into this world and save a sinner like me. He is worthy of our praise, our love, our commitment, our life, our sacrifice. We are to give Him all, because He gave His all that first Christmas. He started the journey that would bring about our eternal salvation. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Satan don't want me to preach that the story, the first Christmas story, that it's real. He's introduced so many other Christmas fairy tales and added it in with our celebration of Christ to make the celebration of Christ just seem like another one of the fairy tales. But I thank You, Lord, that there are so many things to remind Your people that it's not just another one of the Christmas stories. It's the only true and real Christmas story. I thank You that the prophecies thousands and hundreds of years before authenticated. I thank You, Father, that the witnesses authenticated. I thank You, dear Heavenly Father, that the apostles and the early biblical writers authenticated. I thank You that heaven itself authenticates it. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll help us, like the shepherds who were the first witnesses. Help us, dear Father, this Christmas and however many more Christmases You give us, and every day, that we'll go out in the world and say, because Christmas was real, we've got a story to tell you. And it's true, and it's real, and it's your hope. And it's the cause of celebration. Because through His coming, we can be saved. Father, help us to share that message. Help us to rejoice and worship, serve and live, because You came to us. Now, Father, I pray, help us to have a wonderful Christmas holiday, putting our focus upon Jesus. And Father, if there's anybody in this room today that has thought of Christmas, even the Christmas story, as just one of the many other Christmas stories, nothing to get excited about, nothing to be thrilled over, nothing to put above the other Christmas stories. It's just something we always do. May the hearts of those people be convicted, and may they be stirred to come and give their life to Christ so that they can go away rejoicing that there's no Christmas story like the first Christmas story. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our hymn of invitation. And I plead with you today, child of God, if you just want to come and kneel and pray around this place, you ought to fill this place up, giving praise and glory and adoration to Jesus Christ, that Christmas was real and its effects are real in changing lives today. And then I'll be here. And if you want to come and talk to me about trusting Christ, who was really came for you to change your life today and give you hope, I'll stand right here and pray with you and talk to you about it as long as you need. You come today, visitor, member, friend. As we stand and as we sing, you come. Sing. I'm so thankful that my Savior really came for me. And I'm so thankful that the virgin birth really took place. He was really born in Bethlehem, really born of the tribe and the seed of Judah and David, that He really came because He loves me and you, and He wants to save us. So really spread that message abroad. Christmas is about Jesus. If you're glad you have the real story of Christmas, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We'll close in prayer. Hope to see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock when we're no supper. We're just going to come together and sing Christmas carols and read scripture story. And just going to be a great time of celebrating the birth that really, really, really happened. So come and be a part of that. I'm sorry? Tonight, yes, I'm sorry. Thank you there. We're at 6 o'clock tonight. Thank you, ma'am. All right, don't forget your red flowers to take with you. Or if you want to, you can have to take a poinsettia too. All right. We'll have our closing prayer. Mac will be lead us in our closing prayer. And then you have a great day in Jesus Christ. Mac?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do praise you for this time that we can come and celebrate the birth of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that God, that each of us, the Lord, will truly look at our lives, the Lord, and realize, the Lord, that our lives is all about you. And Father, we truly need to strive to be more like you, dear Lord, each and every day of our life. We praise you for this message, dear Lord, that our pastor delivered today. I ask you, dear God, that we would take this message and apply it to our lives. And Father, that when people see us, they will truly know that Jesus Christ is alive and well. Father, just watch over us and protect us and bring us back.